Are you quietly suiting up on the field of sin while telling yourself you're just struggling? Or are you stepping onto the field of righteousness? Even if you strike out 1,000 times, at least you're on the right field because you belong to Jesus. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I hope you're having a great day as we dive into God's Word and let Him change our hearts. We're going to be looking at sin in my life. We've been in this series for about 2 weeks. We'll be finishing it up here pretty quickly because we're almost to the end of Romans chapter 7. But have you learned anything? Has there been anything that we've grown in together? I know I have. It's been one of those couple weeks where I'm like, man, I got to examine myself and see that I'm in the Word of God, letting it shape me, reshape me, do all the things that God wants to do inside of me. So if you are new to us, I would encourage you to go back and maybe listen to a couple of the other podcasts on Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 6, because 6, 7, and 8 of the chapters of Romans go hand in hand, close together. If you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this within your huddle. It really does help us get the Word of God out because we have one purpose in having daily devotions together. And that purpose is we want to change our own personal heart. As born-again believers, we want to have revival in this heart, and then that in turn changes the public square. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish. We can't out-debate people. We can't out-argue people. We can't out-whatever those things. We can out-pray them. We can out-stand in righteousness. We can do all that and show them who Jesus Christ is. And that's what we want to do, is changing hearts so that we change the public square. If you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. Your $5, $10, $20, $30, $40 a month really does help us out a lot to keep programming like this going, and our Washington prayer tours, our register your positions, our influence in Olympia and across the state. So thank you so, so very much for your generosity. So let's dive into God's Word. And it says this: for what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, nothing good dwells in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. And so I call this the big excuse chapter, as you know, if you've listened to yesterday. But we now understand, if you look at Romans 6 and Romans 8, and you look at those bookends, this is not an excuse. He's talking about the depravity of your heart, about how we as fallen human beings in our flesh are, there's not 1 ounce of goodness in us. So let's talk through this. For what I am doing, I do not want to understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. And the first question is, are you not practicing the things you would like to do? There is a big difference between practicing sin and you're enjoying it versus struggling with sin and you're trying to stand for righteousness. Two different things. Do you have a hatred of sin? He says that in there. The very thing I hate, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Do you have a hatred towards sin? Or do you have a love, a fondness, an excitement towards sin? And then finally, let's talk about practicing. Now, the best scripture I have ever found on having clarity about what we practice is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And I want you to think of a baseball field. And when you show up to play baseball, you practice at a baseball field, and there's a baseball diamond, right? And so there's first base, there's second base, there's third base, and there's home base. And so when we think about that, You don't go to a baseball field and practice football. You don't go to a baseball field and practice basketball or hockey or soccer or something else. You go to a baseball field to practice baseball. So let's think about that illustration as we look at 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. This is very important. Verse 2, right there. To get an understanding. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. You are a man of purity. You are a woman of purity if you have your hope fixed on Jesus Christ. Everyone who practices sin, in other words, shows up to the baseball field to practice sin, shows up to the baseball field, or shows up to the sin field to practice sin, practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Does that apply to today? I mean, what's happening in Minnesota? What's happening around the world today? Is there a spirit of lawlessness that's simply taking over our culture and our world? Think about that. Are you showing up to practice sin, to practice lawlessness? You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So in Jesus, no sin, period. No one who abides in Jesus sins, and no one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Here's that word practice again. So if I show up to the field of righteousness and I get up the bat and I say, I'm practicing righteousness, does that mean that I'm always going to hit a home run? No. I might not even get on base, but I'm at the right field. If I show up at the field of sin, look at this, the one who practices sin, and I get up to mess around with sin, and I hit a home run, and I sin really well, or I miss the ball, and I don't sin very well, what's the problem? You showed up the wrong field, you knucklehead. If you show up at righteousness, you will practice righteousness. If you show up to sin, you will practice sin. And he says this, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin. This does not say no one who is born of God never, ever, ever falls or stumbles or sins. That's not what it says. But as born-again believers, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead with Jesus, we no longer should put on our gear of sin and show up to the field of sin and take our ball of sin and our bat of sin and say, here I am, I'm here to practice sin. Nope. We should clothe ourselves with Christ, the robe of righteousness, the helmet of our salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of truth. We should show up at that field with our ball and our bat or our sword and our spear in our hand and our shield in our hand and say, I am here to practice righteousness. Do you see the difference? It's which field you're showing up to practice at. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness, do you notice that doesn't say is perfect at righteousness? Are you practicing righteousness today? In other words, are you showing up at that field and you're like, I may strike out 1,000 times today, but at least I'm at the right field. I am aiming to do the right thing today. He says, when you practice this, that you are obviously a child of God. When you show up at the field of unrighteousness, you're like, God, I don't care. I don't care if I'm great at sin or I'm horrible at sin. I'm going to practice doing unrighteousness. I'm going to practice sin. Guess what? You will practice sin today. And he goes on, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So, on the field of righteousness, there's this idea that we love our brother by speaking the truth in love. Okay, so we have their best interest in mind. We're looking out for them. We're not trying to control them. We're trying to warn them. And he says, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. For what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. You see that? Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. You know why the world's going to hate you? It's because you're not going to show up at their field of sin to practice sin with them. And this is one of the issues within the church. We have somehow said we can jump in to progressive ideology of things that are exactly contrary to God's word and practice those things, and God will still love us. Nope, not going to happen. You say, no, but God does love me. Oh, yeah, he loves you enough to die for you, but he also loves you enough not to lie to you. If you're showing up to practice sin, like this month is National Life Month, and so we are celebrating life from conception to natural death, right? We're celebrating those things of life. Well, if I show up and I kill someone, whether that be in the womb or outside of the womb or as an elderly person, whatever that might be, I am practicing sin. Murder is sin. Therefore, I'm at the field of sin, and I the world will love me if I say that. But if I say life starts at conception and ends at natural death, the world's going to hate me for that. Why? Because I'm not on their field. I'm not playing their game. I'm not believing their deception. The world's going to hate me for it. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. You're on a different field today. We know that we have passed out of death into life, present tense, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. We have to outlove. This is why at FPIW and FPIW Action, we're saying, let's outpray them. Let's outlove them. Let's outcare for them. Even when they don't know that something's going to harm them, let's be patient, kind. Let's tell the truth. Because love is not telling a lie, by the way. I just got to be clear about that, because we've gotten this idea of a gigantic Santa Claus that tells lies and touches his nose and goes up in the chimney or whatever. No, if you truly love someone, you're going to tell them falling off that cliff is dangerous. You're going to tell them if they show up to practice sin, to practice on that field of sin with the baseball of sin and the bat of sin, and they hit a home run in sin, and maybe everyone else is cheering, but God isn't. You're going to tell them because you love them. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Isn't that interesting? If you have committed murder, you have taken the life of another. You don't have eternal life. That sounds harsh. I know. I didn't write it. You say, well, can I repent? Oh, how God wants you to repent for taking that life. We even have Old Testament examples where they've taken life and they repented and God forgave. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Today is a day that you get to lay down your life for someone else. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Do you see that? Love, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue. In other words, let's not just talk about it. Let's not just virtue signal. Let's not just put the right things out there. But in deed and truth, action and truth, that's what we are called to. You say, whose truth is it? It's not my truth. Is it this truth? There's only one source of truth, and that is God. And God has given us his word that we may walk in it. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our hearts before him. Look at it. We're going to know we're of the truth, assure our hearts. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So we know we're of the truth because we're going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit when our flesh stumbles. But our flesh should be stumbling as a win and not as an all the time or lifestyle of stumbling or willful disobedience to God. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded. Let me read that again. This is Christ's commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Or this is the Father's commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know this, that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So, what am I saying? Which baseball field are you showing up to today? The baseball field of sin or the baseball field of righteousness? Are you setting out to say, well, I'm just a mere human. I'm just going to fall. I'm just going to stumble. I'm going to show up at sin and just do it that way. Or are you bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and you have loved God and loved others and you are working on that each and every day? But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law. The key is it, are you not wanting to do it? So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know the things, nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. So there's nothing good in our flesh. I want to be careful of this because we need to differentiate between our spirit, our inner flesh, and our outer flesh. Our spirit, if we are born again, is the Holy Spirit inside of us. That is good. That is awesome. That is powerful. It's the engine of our life. Our inner flesh is our soul, our mind, our thoughts, our desires, our will, or our emotions, or our feelings. And so when we see those things, and we know those things are our inner flesh, and our outer flesh is our bones, our skin, our blood, all that kind of stuff, our eyeballs, our nose. And so those are our outer flesh. But somehow in our society and culture, we have said our inner flesh, our emotions, our desires, and our thoughts are God. They aren't. Or we say they are the Spirit. No, no, they're not. The Holy Spirit may move on our thoughts. The Holy Spirit may move on our emotions. The Holy Spirit may move on our desires, but that is our inner fallenness. Nothing good dwells in your soul. Nothing good dwells in your heart. Nothing good dwells in your flesh. The only good that's in you is if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, your spirit has been made brand new in the likeness of Almighty God, and you have been set free from the chains of sin and of death. And that is why he says, for the willing is present in me, but the doing is not. For the good that I want to do, for the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. Do you want to do good? Do you want to practice, or do you want to practice evil? Which field are you showing up to? But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Sin dwells in your flesh. So what's my hope for you today? What field are you showing up to practice at? What's your uniform? Is your uniform the uniform of sin? Are you putting on sinful emotions and sinful desires and sinful thoughts today? Or are you allowing the resurrection spirit that dwells inside of you to take each of those thoughts captive, and you're showing up to that field of righteousness and you're saying, no, emotions, my soul, why are you despairing within me? Put your hope in God. Oh, desires, you desire that flesh. You desire that flesh. You desire that thing, that wealth, that money. No, put your hope in God. Are you taking control of those things? Not because of who you are, but because of Christ in you through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's what we have to ask God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Righteousness is only available through Jesus Christ. In other words, in order to be in right standing with God Almighty, King of Kings, it only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and that sacrifice on the cross. Why? Because he didn't stay in the grave. He resurrected from the dead. Today is the day of salvation. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And Lord, we just commit that today is a day that we show up to the field of righteousness and we practice doing things that honor you, glorify you, bring you praise. God, we want to love our neighbor, love our the good Samaritan. We want to be that good Samaritan today. We want to love those around us who are unlovable. Would you open up our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our desires today that we may know you, that we may walk in your ways today, God. Go before us in all things, God. Lord, we put on Christ today. We clothe ourselves with Christ. We say, I am yours. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.